This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, my colleague and co-host. And we're headed to low Earth orbit, the Earth-Moon system, and Mars. And we're going to get there thanks to the genius of a man named Jared Isaacman. Who is he? He's nominated to be the administrator of NASA, the big space company that landed on the moon many generations ago. However, Mr. Isaacman has a completely different challenge ahead of him because of the success of commercial space these last years, not just commercial manned space, but also all of the low Earth orbit monetizing that's going on and will continue to grow, including private landings on the moon. And eventually we can anticipate Mars private landings. However, I mentioned that Jared Isaacman, if he didn't exist, we'd have to invent him. He's a jet pilot. He's a very wealthy man. He's young. He's eager. He's adventurous. He's risk-taking. He's flown two private low Earth orbit missions in Dragon capsules. That's right, a commercial capsule with a commercial operator, Mr. Isaacman, and a crew he decided to take along with him. He was the pilot, not a passenger. In addition to that, he performed a spacewalk in the second Dragon capsule launch and successful mission. He also donated an enormous amount of money to charity for both of those missions, to my knowledge. He's knowledgeable, he's quick, he's extremely charming, and at the same time, he goes up against the U.S. Senate for the confirmation hearing for administrator. So we welcome Brendan Weichert, author of the award-winning Winning Space, to measure Mr. Isaacman and also the questions he faced from the U.S. Senate. Brendan, your thoughts, first of all, about where do we get people like this? And then what the Senate made of him the first time they looked at him. Good evening to you, Brendan.
Good evening, John, and hello, Gordon. Thank you, as always, for having me. Jared Isaacman is almost like he's from a lab because he is so perfectly suited for the role of NASA administrator. He's certainly the best pick in my lifetime for that role. And the fact that he not only has his background with SpaceX, a private space startup, but he also actually went into space makes him a very unique bird indeed. Need to run this agency that frankly has become overly bureaucratized over the last several years.
And the Senate, what was your impression of their Q&A?
Well, there's a lot of self-interest. Our political system displays mediocrity and lack of foresight on a daily basis. And I think the questioning in many cases of Isaacman shows that parochialism. But it's to be expected. Ultimately, I think Isaacman handled himself with a great deal of honor. And I think he's a great pick.
You've spoken before and you've written before about the ethos, the private commercial ethos of NASA right now compared to the old days. What does that mean?
Well, basically, SpaceX has a relatively small budget compared to a government bureaucracy like NASA. And so they have to be able to do more with less in order not just to get a project done, but to also make a profit. So you have a lot of different moving parts for the organization to be able to be considered successful. And so that startup ethos is one of the reasons, by the way, why SpaceX has pioneered the reusable rocket, which has infinitely lowered the price of rocket launches overall. And it has therefore allowed for greater innovation downstream from that with satellite technology and whatnot and ride sharing capabilities. And so basically, Isaacman is going to take all of that ethos, and he's going to apply it to the bloated, sclerotic, Byzantine bureaucracy that is NASA.
Gordon, you have a question for Brendan.
Brendan, you mentioned Isaacman's connection with SpaceX. SpaceX, Elon Musk, has said we should skip the moon and go to Mars. If Isaacman is confirmed, as everybody expects, will NASA abandon Artemis, the moon project? And where does the moon fit into all of these plans?
It's a great question. And so during the testimony, he was asked this, and Isaacman, I thought, answered greatly. And he said, you know, we're going to do both. And I think we have to remember the United States is blessed right now with a real public-private ecosystem, not just NASA anymore as the monopoly. You've not just SpaceX either. That's probably the greatest, most comprehensive private space startup. But you've got other great private startups as well in space. Rocket Lab, for instance, and I'm not going to be able to name them all, but Rocket Lab and Jeff Bezos is even his Blue Origin is, and I know had some startup issues, but they're working through it. And so there's NASA's going to be able, and this is why it's good we have a private sector guy with Isaacman in charge if he gets it. NASA's going to be able to basically pull on all these resources so they can do both. And they don't have to just rely on SpaceX, which has a company corporate vision of going to Mars before anything. NASA will be able to also partner with Space Force. I wrote an article several years ago when Space Force was being founded that A, Space Force needs a manned military spaceflight program, and B, what better way to kind of develop that than by giving Space Force the mission set of getting boots back on the moon? Because ultimately, dominating the Earth-Moon system, that is a strategic imperative first and civilian imperative second. So get Space Force to lead the effort in this way while NASA and SpaceX work on getting to Mars before China can.
During the testimony, Senator Cruz from Texas, the man from Houston Control, displayed a AI-generated poster. On one side was a picture of Americans on the moon with a moon base. The other side, same idea, but they were People's Republic of China taikonauts on the moon. And Mr. Cruz made the point, which is going to happen? What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Are you going to get to the moon first? Is there a moon race to your measure, Brandon? And how's China doing?
Oh, there's absolutely a moon race. There's a race for Mars as well. There's a race to dominate the orbits around the Earth and the Lagrangian points between the Earth and the moon. And the Chinese are competitive. In certain aspects, they are ahead of us. They're manned space station in orbit is going to outlast the International Space Station, which I think is set to be decommissioned in another few years, whereas the Chinese space station will go on for another 10 or 20 years. So they've got some advantages there. They've got advantages with the race to the moon because they're focused like a laser on it. They want not only to get boots on the moon to put a Chinese flag there, but they want to put a manned permanent station on the southern pole of the moon, and they have plans to eventually begin mining the moon's regolith for things like helium-3, which is an isotope that is hard to find on Earth but abundant in the regolith on the moon, and they want to use that for things like nuclear fusion programs. So the Chinese have a very specific goal of being on the moon before the Americans can get there by the early 2030s. And right now, the Americans are sort of scattershot. We want to do the moon. We want to do more in space. We want to do Mars. And so I think what Isaacman really needs to do when he gets in there is create a comprehensive strategic doctrine of public-private coordination so that we can dominate the Earth-Moon system as well as get people on Mars before the Chinese can.
So, Brandon, how is the Chinese space station doing right now? And does it have a military purpose?
The Chinese space station is explicitly military in nature. Obviously, you make the argument that NASA itself was a Cold War fighting institution, but it was always indirect and really focused on prestige enhancement and soft power methodologies. The Chinese space program is military. And so that space station is a strategic asset in orbit. In fact, it has grappling arms that are designed to yank nearby satellites from orbit if and when a conflict erupts. You and I have spoken about that over the years many times. And it's doing fine. It's a newer station. In fact, the Russians are talking about, at least until recently, joining up on that station. And the Russians are masters of space station operations. So that could be a force multiplier in orbit. There's a lot the Chinese have advantage-wise in Earth orbit. And that space station they've got up there is the biggest thing.
Brandon Weichert, Winning Space, Gordon Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.